You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome. Join our regular team and maybe a few special guests as they give you the lowdown on movies, TV shows, games, or just whatever they want to talk about. It's the best of geek from week to week, live on Twitch and direct in your ears via the podcast.
Watch the series finale of X-Men next Saturday morning. Check your local listings.
I'm grateful to have the chance to say goodbye.
I am proud of you all, my X-Men.
Fate lies in our hands now. Now.
We have to stay vigilant. The professor entrusted us with his dream.
No matter how dark it is, we must believe in each other.
We get this done by working together as a team.
Jeez, Bob. Keep buzzing in my ear.
To me, my X-Men. Magneto.
The last will and testament of Charles Xavier. Everything he built now belongs to me.
Welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome.
I've only got one set of claws, so
you know. You need more Sharpies.
I do. Sorry. I'm a snicked snooch, but you know.
Oh, that's
hello.
How are you all doing?
Hello.
Oh dear, we're all back.
We're all here. Look at
us.
We're
here. The gang's all back together. The X-Men reunited.
Excellent.
The 90s are back.
Oh, fuck yeah. Oh.
And Peter, I see that you're wearing your 90s grunge. I wouldn't throw shade like that, but you've already made the joke off screen.
Yes, I've definitely made the effort to dress up in 90s grunge and haven't just turned up in my most comfortable flannel because that's what I was wearing around the apartment.
Sure.
There is not enough flannel in the world.
That is the correct.
You are rocking it well.
That is the correct attitude for 90s.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yep. Make sure that you're wearing slightly torn, ripped jeans.
Do you know how difficult it was to get all of the fucking X-Men onto the screen tonight? I was just adding them in. I went, oh, no, there's one that's got to come. Oh, no, we've got another one. Just, I'm running out of space. There's a lot of X-Men.
So at the moment, we're currently just like here, and there's an X-Men here, and there's an X-Men over here.
Sort of shoved them in, and they're all different sizes, so let's not look too hard. Don't scratch the surface too much there. I know that the Beast is quite a lot larger than Morph. I know this.
I mean, he is a lot larger than Morph. That's generally how it works, but you know.
Sure.
Anyway, what are we talking about?
X-Men 97, the Renaissance version.
I like Rob's one. Great expectations.
Yes. Congratulations. Please keep punning the amount of X-related puns, not X-rated puns. X-related puns.
Don't you start, Dion.
Dion's already started talking about porn name will be.
Shut up.
But we can't talk about that until we get to the spoiler section because it is even the porn title is the spoiler.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm. And let's not talk about the Triple X-Men.
That's supposed to Triple X, who was a shit wrestler in the early 2000s.
Or an awesome movie star.
Vin Diesel.
Yes. Xander Cage. Triple X.
What do the other X's stand for in that?
X.
First one's Xander, but what are the rest?
and just fade out of the room. X.
And what's more, he's going to come back 20-something odd years later and become the replacement for Twitter.
Yeah. Yes, I apologize. I apologize, Chester Angel. I'm sorry I'm not wearing a pink crop top, but I do not have the abadabas that our beignet-eating Cajun seems to have.
I call utter bullshit on the fact that that is a man who is cooking and eating beignets with those abs. Fuck off. His mutant power is apparently his fucking
metabolism.
Yes, exactly. Wolverine's like, I can heal from anything, and Gambit's like, oh, mon ami, check this shit out.
I'm just gonna eat whatever I want.
Gambit going to eat an entire pig.
Couldn't be any worse than the Gambit representation in X-Men Wolverine Origins.
Oh, darn.
Let's not be reminded.
Why? This took me on a really weird down a really weird rabbit hole. So, like, this has given me a real kind of ex-Renaissance type thing, because, of course, when I finished episodes of this, I'm like, you got any more of that good X stuff going on there? That ecstasy, as it were? So I kind of jumped back in and started watching some of the old X-Men animated series, because why wouldn't you? And then when I was like, some of this is shit. And, you know, when in the little thing where it's like, hey, you're watching this, we could recommend this. They recommended some of the X-Men films. Turns out they're shit too.
Oh,
that's unfair.
Not all of them.
Okay, what's a good X-Men film? Wait, this is the real test.
Days of Future Past is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Logan. I can't watch it again.
Okay, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But then because somebody, I got into an argument online about the quality of it, I went back and I watched, guess which one?
Dark Phoenix.
Go on, take a guess.
I don't know, X2.
No, X2's quite good. Apocalypse.
Oh, no, Oh, here I was forgetting all about that film.
And so you should.
What about X-Men First Class?
That's great.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. X-Men First Class has a really definitive and cool style, and it's trying to do something.
Sure.
And then they do Days of Future Past, and it's like, oh, smush it all together.
Yeah.
But then they go and do Apocalypse. And then they do Dark Phoenix, and you're like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Peter, what's your favorite X-Men film?
I think I might have stopped watching them after Days of Future Past. I kind of went up to Days of Future Past and then skipped everything to Logan and haven't watched any since, if there have indeed been any since.
Oh, yeah, they have.
Technically speaking, I think Deadpool is X-Men adjacent.
I'm not counting Deadpool in that. I've obviously seen Deadpool.
Sure. Okay, just checking. And how much of the original X-Men animated series did you watch, Pete, in preparation for this?
In preparation for this?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely none.
Yeah. Amazing.
No, it wasn't on my rotation. In fact, I think that my first interaction with X-Men was probably that first film with
the Bryan Singer one?
With Anna Paquin and...
Yes.
Crew.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
And a shitty
new perspective on this very nostalgic piece that is definitely aimed for a very specific audience.
Yeah.
With its nostalgia. Yeah.
The 40-somethings is that audience. It's definitely not aimed at children.
The 40-somethings who watched this animation in the 90s,
100%.
Do you know what
it even makes reference to things as if like they're things that have happened to these characters.
Yes.
With that, yeah. Did I miss episodes?
No. Bishop just came back from the time.
I miss episodes.
And the thing that I remember about it was I used to have to leave technically before the episode finished. So I had to leave for school before the episode finished, and I would always be there, like literally, like about my bag out the door going, no, I'm coming, trying to watch them. But also because it's Australia when I was growing up, they just aired them whatever they felt like whatever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We're just going to do this now. It's half the Dark Phoenix.
For clarification, were yours weekdays?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Because this was pure 90s Saturday morning cartoon for me.
Oh, no, I had cheese TV in the mornings.
Yeah, okay. Tasmania, no cheese TV.
Yeah, you didn't have cheese TV.
Yeah, because we came from a real state.
Oh!
I had a choice of
shot fired, motherfucker.
I had a choice of comic book stores, the good one or the other good one. I don't.
Always me.
Yes.
I now suspect that maybe I didn't watch this because I left the school too early.
Yes, probably because it was almost the last thing that came on in Cheese TV, and it was like, oh yeah, this is great. And I'm like, for fuck's sake, could you just make it earlier?
My parents were both teachers. I had to get to school earlier than most kids. Oh. So that will explain this.
Mm.
Yeah.
Whereas for me, it was once a week, Saturday morning, fucking religiously. But then also the later seasons we didn't get. So there's like season 3 or 3 and 4 or something has some really big fucking episodes. Like they do the whole Phoenix saga and Dark Phoenix saga. Mm-hmm. They did Age of Apocalypse before Age of Apocalypse did it. They do all these big things. And I'm like, what? They did what? Yeah. Because at that time it just wasn't on TV anymore in Tassie. So I have maximum nostalgia for the first 2 seasons.
Nice. Oh, well, you're filling in all the gaps then.
I am indeed.
As I was reading through the chat, I was glancing at the chat, and then Jessa just put something in there. It's like, oh yeah, Pizza Hut VHS promos had episodes, and I was like, yeah, they did. Like, yeah, I remember that. But somehow I watched some of this via Pizza Hut. How?
Oh, to be a child again.
I mean, gosh. Anyway,
we really did like manage to get any piece of pop culture we could get our hands on through whatever means necessary.
Sure.
In the 90s.
Yeah. Actually, do you remember the thing that came before this? There was an X-Men animated special that came out a few years before this, about 5 years before this. Have any of you ever seen that?
I don't.
I think you're lying, Quinny.
No, it's a thing called Pride of the X-Men.
I remember Pride of the X-Men.
So it's sort of a different cast of characters. Kitty Pryde's the lead instead of Jubilee. Mm. It's like Colossus and it's a Dazzler, a whole bunch of different characters.
Yeah.
And in it, Wolverine's Australian.
They predicted it.
And it came out in the 80s.
They predicted.
Was that the 80s?
It was 1989.
Holy shit.
Did they have Simpsons writers on that show? Because they just predicted the future.
Totally.
And let's hope they didn't employ those writers for this series, because that's oh, well.
I have a serious question now that I'm thinking about it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do kids these days still like sit down and watch their morning cartoon program and like right up until they leave for school in the morning?
No, they just watch it on their phones.
Yeah.
On their way. Like literally just head down going, I'm watching an episode until the, you know, obviously the teacher must be like, okay, so phones down. I give up. Just use ChatGPT to submit your assignment. And.
Yeah, no, it's everything streamed now. Like, you know, everything is available whenever you want it. I mean, there
is. That weekday morning cartoon show was like a very particular vibe that we did do every morning. And it's just funny to think about in the age of like, careful about screen time with your kids that like,
oh, yeah,
that's what we did in the mornings.
Oh, yeah. I did a full hour and a half of cartoons in the morning, followed up by about 2 hours of cartoons in the afternoon as well.
I mean, we got afternoon cartoons, but not morning ones.
Oh.
Yeah, no, we just, I mean, because in Tassie, our Southern Cross was a mix of 7 and 10, we didn't get aggro or whatever it was, so we just didn't get morning cartoons, unless they're on ABC, and that was not the same thing at all. But we did get afternoon ones.
Yeah, it's so weird how we just avoided content. The content was so dictated to us that we're like, we don't know what we're getting. Is this cartoon going to be any good? I don't know. I've watched 33 episodes. I'm not sure yet. Everyone's talking about it. Is it good? I don't know. Sure.
So should we tell you what X-Men 97 is about? I'm pretty sure everybody in the chat already knows. But
I don't know. Do you need some background music there, Q?
As long as it's the best background music. I'm going to assume it's good. And this one, we're going to do it as Professor Xavier. Just because I thought so. A band of mutants uses their uncanny gifts to protect a world that hates and fears them. They're challenged like never before. Forced to face. Fuck it, Scott, get out of my light. They're forced to face a dangerous and unexpected new future in which I am dead, my X-Men. It's not actually a spoiler. It's the first thing. It's like it's the tail end of the last season. I'm not spoiling anything.
Really? Like it's not just there in the trailer that I just played.
Yeah, I figured it was like, pretty safe.
Charles Xavier is dead.
Also, I mean, it's a ballsy move to actually pick up from the last episode of the old series and just go, yep, that's absolutely what happened. He stayed dead.
Yeah, it's not like we had a blackout for 27 years and it woke up and it just kept going.
Yeah.
No, it sounded nothing like Patrick Stewart unless it's... Is it the Patrick Stewart from the Brown album?
I mean, I'm just really happy that they didn't feel the need to have to reboot it and explain the origin of the X-Men and go through the entire thing again because we needed to know how did the X-Men go?
I don't know. They're doing some pretty good exposition drops in their dialogues.
Exposition? Yeah.
Exposition.
Exposition. yes, okay, fair enough.
They do, but at the same time, it doesn't feel like they're going, okay, we're having to reintroduce characters entirely. And they're bringing back in characters and going, oh, here's Nightcrawler. They don't feel the need to give you his full background or do, you know, the fact that
he's got two episodes. No, but they're like, oh, hey, Nightcrawler, I haven't seen you since that time when you did this and that and it happened in that episode, remember? And then...
And he's just like, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Oh dear!
That's really weird, really weird way to talk to me. But you know, okay.
Yeah.
So we gotta go to Genosha now, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, and I love that they just keep rolling with it. It's only five episodes. There's still like more episodes to come, and I can't believe that they've crammed so much in to these five episodes that you're like, wow, you just kind of only took one episode to do a very long and difficult arc. It's resolved. Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on.
So, by which are we talking about episode two?
The Goblin Queen episode?
Like the entire Inferno story arc.
I love that the entire Inferno story arc occurs in one episode, which made me go, really? And also, I got to say, shout out to the one thing that I really loved is that in Inferno, like Magic as a character is definitely in a lot of that, and there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes on with that character. But shout out to Morph for just turning into Magic for about half a second just to be like, she's in there and she's off. Like, and I was like, great.
Also, shout out for Morph for turning into Psylocke and doing more than she did in X-Men Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
And shout out to Morph for just being a saucy fucking asshole to everybody.
I think the beauty of including him in this series was just so that they didn't have to include everybody else. They're like, oh, well, he can just transform into them for, you know, a couple of seconds.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, because most of the, like, he was big in season one of the way back when, but then they kind of left him alone. I think they didn't know what to do with him as a character.
Yeah, because fans hated him.
Yes.
Fans from the comics were like,
from the comics?
Yeah, fans were like, who's this dickhead? Not in there. What's going on there?
Yeah.
What about you, Peter? You a big Morph fan?
I mean, we've hit the sweet spot for Peter not giving a single fuck, haven't we? It's animated and it's about superheroes.
I think I would like to hear how Pete feels about this series, because it's obvious for the rest of us that we're all just sniffing nostalgia fumes and it's hitting all the right buttons for us. But as somebody that never watched this series 27 years ago, what do you think of this animated X-Men?
I really enjoyed that it was only 5 episodes long. What I needed to watch in order to participate in this conversation was only 5 half-hour episodes, which really reduced my resistance to watching it. The music is awesome.
Yes.
Love the music.
Yeah.
Animation style is
very retro and cool. It was giving me Captain Planet vibes, seeing as I never actually watched the original X-Men animation. My brain had to connect it to something, and it connected it to Captain
Planet.
Were
you a big Planet fan?
I like Captain Planet. Captain Planet was on in the afternoons.
Yeah.
I watched a lot more Captain Planet than I did X-Men, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, but
so if there was a Captain Planet 99 or whatever, it were, like the next thing, and it's the next generation of Planeteers or something like that, you'd be down for that?
No, I don't know. The next generation of Planeteers sound like that would be kind of annoying, but I would watch a version that just has the original Planeteers in it, yeah.
I want Captain Planet to come back as a reboot and just comes back and goes, so, how have you all been? Whoa. What? No.
We just have
I'm taking
to get
the power back.
Yeah, get the Don Cheadle version. He'll sort it out.
You're a tree.
So we're racing Casper to the spoiler section, which is great.
Yes.
episode 5 now. So.
Thoroughly enjoying. I also like the fact that he's kind of gone quiet as well. Just like, yeah, yeah.
The animation style was cool. The music was awesome. The video game episode was cool. But this, this is something that I do kind of like about it, although it didn't improve my watching experience. It's very obviously for the fans. Like, we are not trying to reel in a new audience here. We're not trying at all. There's no pretense of being like, we'll reboot it and get the kids in. No, it's just for you guys.
No, like, it is the children who are wrong.
But have you seen the reaction to this has actually been overwhelmingly positive?
Oh, like, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that, like, they've obviously not tried to tweak it in a way that will bring in people like me who don't already have an emotional connection to the material. But it seemed to me to be, you know, very... I mean, are the things that they're flashing back to, are they things that happened in the original series, or are they just kind of like making it up?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, those moments are very confusing to somebody who hasn't watched any of it.
I know, but
well, I can't think of a flashbacky bit. Video
game episode with the big bad in that.
Mojo.
Oh, Mojo.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you know, you've lost weight or whatever. And, you know, you were doing this stuff with the television and now you're doing this. And you're like, you get this like whole backstory that you kind of like, like, I feel like this is a previously on.
Yeah.
That I'm seeing right now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they do update it. Like, because Mojo specifically came from Mojo Television and now he's doing Mojo Game. And it's just like, okay, fine, fair enough. We can go with that. That's adjacent.
Yeah. And then they've gone, oh, okay, how do we upgrade it but also update it? I thought there was a really interesting thing there where he started off as gaunt and skinny. And I was like, okay, there was a choice there because in the old one, Mojo has always been massively sort of corpulent and gross and disgusting and slimy and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, that's a choice. Like, and then... He's like they make comment on his weight and everything, and then it goes away, and you're like, "What?"
It's
very strange.
It's a fun thing. And forgive us for being distracted because I am also watching Casper live.
I know.
Live episoding through this, and it's like, you're almost there, buddy. You're almost there.
And to everybody else in the chat, if you are not up to speed with episode 5, do not read Casper's stuff.
No. And also avoid the spoiler section. But we're going to talk about this. Yes, what I want to know specifically about everyone's enjoyment of this. Do you think there's a bit in it where they have failed bringing the people from the 97 through? And I feel slightly like they did Jean Grey a little dirty. But
how
I,
so?
I mean, she was always one of the more annoying characters in the original 97 TV. Like, yeah. It was one of the ones like, oh, because she's always written very well. That's the thing that I think that annoyed me. I read a lot of comics, and then to have Jean written kind of like, she was written well, and then it was just like, oh, she seems really whiny and kind of a pain in the ass in this, but they've continued that on through, and Cyclops seems way cooler than he should be.
No. Oh. No. Okay, so Jean has always been a whiny bitch. This is the reason why I hate her guts. All stems from the original X-Men. I'll have to put a link somewhere on Facebook to my favorite fan comic about Jean and Scott, because they are the ultimate white bread mayonnaise couple.
That's the point.
And Scott is just like completely still a douche. I did love though in episode 5 where he like loses his shit. Like, this
that was amazing.
Spoiler, but like he threw a tantrum, and I'm like, oh my god, he's got some balls finally.
And I will say that the introduction. Sorry, there's a fucking thing going past, so I'm just going to close that door. One of the things I did like is that this is the first time I've seen them use his force beam power in new and interesting ways. Because for the most part, it's always just been bizarre, you know, away you go.
Yeah.
In the first episode, they started to go, okay, what if Scott was actually, you know, quite good at using it and used it in different ways and was kind of a badass? And I was like, oh, hello. This is the reason that people have liked him in the comics, but I always kind of hate him.
The weird thing is, he is such a powerful character, but he just never uses his power, and I don't understand his the reasoning.
Sorry, but Casper's just what the hell?
Oh no, it's worse.
The thing I am enjoying the most about revisiting this series is the melodrama. Oh, it's a fucking soap opera with superpowers. This is what I loved about the original, was just like everything was over the top, so soapy, so dramatic, and we're getting it again. Like, I'm here for it. It's the only thing that's really keeping me hooked in this new one, because I'm just like, yeah, I've watched this all before, but then it's like, oh no, but now there's a Jean clone, and oh no, she's had a baby with Scott, and oh no, now the other Jean's putting moves on Wolverine, and oh no, oh now Storm's having affairs with people, and Rogue's having affairs with people, and oh, this is just, it's incredible.
I know, it's kind of one of the funniest things. I love watching it because it is just soap opera melodrama ridiculousness. Yes. And I thought about it going, it wasn't like this, it was really earnest and everything's believable when it came out, and I was like, no.
My most memorable episode from the old series is like Logan busting into Jean and Scott's wedding and like screaming Jean! And I'm like
I mean, yeah, and Peter, so just to give you a bit of backstory for that, just so you help to understand, is there was a whole love triangle. Well, not really a love triangle, but an unrequited kind of love-ish.
It's always been a bit of a love
triangle. They addressed it in the X-Men films that Peter
was Yeah. But, like, it was very weird in the cartoon, in the 90s, to watch it going, this is weird.
Especially for a cartoon that was for children. Like, it was all very adult storylines.
It's funny, I've gone back and I've watched a whole bunch of the old stuff, but there's the one that I watched because I was like, I did some digging about this whole Age of Apocalypse thing, and the episode that came out in is a thing called One Man's Worth, and they go back in time, some bad guys go back in time to kill Xavier in the 50s, before he's done anything, and that creates a whole different timeline where everybody in the future is different and badass and stuff like that. And Storm and Wolverine are together.
Oh, and yeah.
It is so melodramatic. But at the same time, I was by the end of it, I was like, oh, that's actually really rough. If they fix the timeline, these two people who are meant to be together, they're going to split apart. Oh, no.
I love it.
So you're invested.
You're invested. Yeah, you're too invested now.
Yeah, yeah. It's fucking Days of Our Lives, but with superpowers.
Days of Our Lives of Future Past.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yes. Yes, that works. I agree with that. Do we all like Saucy Magneto?
His opera gloves just send me that costume. Why they picked that one, I don't know.
We're heading into the 90s, and that was a peak period of some dumb fucking costumes. Magneto.
I thought that was like early 2000s. I thought that was House of M. That was a very different kind of, like, they're just throwing shit at the wall now. I know they're calling it X-Men 97. That's because the overall theme is the 90s.
Yeah, it's like, oh, how do I spell my name again? Let me just check my shirt. It starts with an M.
Magneto.
Yeah,
yeah.
Thank God I took the helmet off. Now I can see.
Oh, my God. But a dude that will call himself the Master of Magnetism.
Oh, well, yeah.
It puts Gambit's third person speak to shame.
But he's so well drawn. Like, he takes the helmet off, like Magneto.
He's got too many lines, man.
Too much detail in that face.
I like the introduction of Sunspot or Roberto da Costa in this, because it was a nice little foil to a little bit of the ridiculousness of the X-Men and how they had continued on from that time, because at least he got to stand there and go, you guys are weird.
Yeah.
So they introduced a mutant who doesn't really use their powers and doesn't really want to be a superhero or anything. It was just kind of like, is everyone okay? You guys seem a bit wrong. Just like the audience or people who came into it, like, would be able to just look at it and be like, this is a bit strange. Should I ask that question? Yeah, that's all right. Robert's there for you. He's up.
Yeah, Jezza pointed out, but I was looking up that costume. It's from the 80s. It's issue 200.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So, in fact, it's old. Old
it's,
Magneto.
It's older Magneto. Well, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. There's not a lot of history. We could easily fact check the X-Men for continuity. That is a joke, Peter. Just letting you know, that is one of the most complicated and ridiculous storylines of all time in the X-Men comics. And holy shit, they're just doing a good job by going, yeah, yeah, this 12-issue run, that's one episode. Moving on.
Which is funny, because back in the original one, they'd do six episodes to a story. Like the Dark Phoenix and the Phoenix Saga, they go six episodes each, which is massive. Admittedly, they were very big storylines.
Yeah, and to think of that as me as a teenager watching this going, wait, what? I've seen two episodes, and one is at the start, one's at the end. What happened in the middle? Yeah.
He's TV, whatever.
And then imagine watching it and having zero clue about any of the backstory or history of any of this.
How many times did you open Google and put in a name?
A few times. Yeah. A few. I mean, most of the names of the mutants I recognized from various movies. Yeah.
What is the point of Jubilee?
Yay!
Oh, I think Casper might need a hug. Who's going to hug Casper?
We've hit that point.
Hey!
Okay, everybody, drop some hugs, drop some love in the chat for our boy Casper.
And ourselves. Just think of it. It's, think back to your memories of watching the fifth episode finale end thing, and just reach out with some gentleness. We're getting away there. Like, I do have a few clips to play of the fun times, but I don't, like, we don't have to do a rating just yet, but I'd like you to start thinking about it, because I just want to go into some of the fun bit. Sure. I want to go to that Cyclops fight scene in the first episode where he uses his eye beam powers to, like, have some fun while beating up some racists. Let's be honest. So, yeah, we'll just go and watch that little clip. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of, this is fun, and also made Cyclops cool. Not that he ever wasn't cool.
He was never cool.
Deals. Good guy or bad guy? named Cyclops. Definitely the good guy. Hang tight.
Yes, isn't that cool? Wait, so Cyclops has always been cool. He is the coolest. He's the greatest X-Man of all time. No. And that's why Professor Charles Xavier decided to not let him
skip him.
I mean, that doesn't give anyone a complex.
He was only cool in Marvel versus Capcom. He was a very great character to play in that game.
And he remains to be cool. And nothing bad has ever come of the consequence of continually overlooking Scott and giving him shit.
He's a bowl of white rice. He's terrible.
See? Yeah. And nothing bad has ever happened because everyone treated Cyclops that way. Which hopefully they get to in season 2 of X-Men 97, where Scott Summers has a bit of a break.
I don't know. I feel like we've almost started to get hints of that right there in episode 5, but we'll come back to that.
Yeah. Anyway.
One thing that I did love about this series, and this is something that I don't think is even remotely tied to the history of the show and everything, is the fact that it is not shy about having a go at some pretty current events. Like, even though it's called X-Men 97 and it's still set in the 90s or whatever, it's not hiding the fact that it's making some pretty clear analogies to modern day problems. Like, episode 2, is it episode 2, where they essentially just do January 6th?
But doesn't it also say something that, like, those issues from the 90s are still relevant now?
Yeah.
we haven't really progressed in the last 20 years, I'm sad to say.
Yeah, well, what are you saying? In the 90s, there's some tensions and potentially a war in the Middle East?
Yeah.
I mean, we've made progress, but we've also repealed a lot of that progress.
Yep. But also, like, the fact that so many people are now... You know, because I look at the social media things, so many people were getting angry about X-Men going, oh, it's gone woke. I'm like, motherfucker.
Okay.
How did you miss all of the subtext?
Wow.
Like,
people that are allergic to analogies.
Yeah, and all of the fact that all of a sudden they saw a whole bunch of people with placards saying, we hate mutants, and suddenly identified with them and went, oh, maybe we're the baddies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But I really like the fact that, you know, whilst I'm watching an X-Men show, I'm also getting, like, really strong feelings of this is talking about current events. And this is, you know, really asking questions about what side of history people are on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the analogy of what being a mutant actually is laid pretty clear.
Yeah.
Well, one of the many analogies of what being a mutant is. Are you gay? Are you, you know, trans? Are you from a different background? Like, whatever you are, if you're other, you can see that in yourself as a mutant. I enjoyed that. Did you get that, Pete? Was it subtle?
I got that.
Good.
I got that over my limited experience with the X-Men franchise. I have read the subtext. It was not entirely subtle in the films either.
Not really subtle anywhere.
But that's okay. That's okay. I would like to point out that Genosha and Genovia sound really, really similar, and my brain kept getting confused about whether or not we were going to
have a Princess Diaries crossover.
A fictional European nation from the Princess Diaries or something else.
This is a deep cut that I don't get because I've not watched the Princess Diaries.
Oh.
Oh, but isn't Cyclops in the Princess Diaries?
I am crossing some very different pop culture streams here.
James Marsden wasn't in the Princess Diaries.
Is James Marsden in the Princess Diaries?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Or am I misremembering things?
You're thinking of Enchanted.
Yeah.
I could be.
Yes.
Different thing.
Similar, but different.
Anyway, Quinny, while you're off work, there's something else you can watch. The Sound of Music, and then The Princess Diaries.
And all of Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec.
Why not?
I would say that The Princess Diaries did kind of become its own cultural moment. Chris Pine. Chris Pine was in The Princess Diaries.
Ah, right.
So Captain
Another
Kirk
handsome
was in
man. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
See, I could totally see Chris Pine playing the Cyclops.
Really?
Yeah, but he'd do it with a little bit more charm.
You think?
I like James Marsden, though.
Yeah, I like James Marsden, no but if you go back to Cyclops. X-Men 3, he gets fucking done dirty.
No one wants Cyclops to have charm. Part of the point of Cyclops is he has no charm.
He's a bowl of white rice. Like, there's nothing charming about him. He thinks saltines are spicy. Like, this is a this is a boring guy.
And I love how pissed he is that he gets passed over in favor of Magneto. Yeah. Like,
especially because Magneto is standing there in that outfit. It's like, no, I'd be pissed too. I'm like, this guy, really?
Look at his clothes.
And Magneto looks like King asks has
about
a
the James Marsden
room.
Thing with jewelry duty. Yes,
oh,
absolutely.
My God,
watch
that's
it.
Such
it's
a
very
good
funny.
Show.
Okay. So, have you had to think about ratings? This is fair too because it's only the first five episodes, so hopefully they can bring it home for the remaining episodes. What do you think?
I don't know how to rate it.
Rating it strongly. Like, I'm happy to go like straight in. I'm going to rate it 97 for that because I loved the way that they kept everything going. But I really love that they went, fun episode, weirder episode, fun episode, really fun episode, absolutely fucked episode. that undercut everything and basically made everyone feel unsafe in that the perfect way they do. It's like, oh, yeah, everyone's here. Everything's great. No one's safe. And I was like, yay, that's good. That's good nostalgia hitting. Thanks. Yeah. I'm giving it 97. I love it. I think it's great. Not 100. Not 100.
No.
Just 97.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to recuse myself from the rating. Because this was so very much not for me that I honestly don't know how to give it a number. Like, I can't I can't rate this because it's like it's very much not for me.
Right.
But also you could rate it from that perspective because maybe it should be for everyone.
But I don't even really know how to rate it from that perspective. Yeah. Somebody who's into animated series but not necessarily familiar with the X-Men would have enjoyed it more than I did. I have the unfortunate cross-section of struggling to get into most animated series and having very little of the background knowledge and love of the X-Men. So I could only possibly rate it from like a very like passive, like I'm very far back from, you know, anyone that this series really was for. And you wouldn't recommend this series to somebody who doesn't like animation and isn't particularly into the genre. It's kind of like me saying, I don't really like oysters. And you saying, eat this oyster and tell me how much you like it. Like,
yeah, okay.
Like, you're not going to get a good rating for that, but I don't feel like it deserves to be rated badly. Like, but I also, I don't know. Yeah, so I think I'm just going to step back from that one and let you guys go.
You have to go to the Pontius Pilate corner. Yeah,
I wash my hands of you.
I reserve the right then to adjust your score in the future for something that you like without any explanation.
That doesn't feel like the same thing, but okay.
This is a cruel and unusual punishment. Yes.
No, all I'm saying is I don't want to bring down the average by rating it poorly because I don't think it deserves that, but I don't feel like I can be like, yes, 90 out of 100 because I didn't feel that while I was watching it.
I'm going to bring down the average.
Oh.
I'm only going to rate it an 85 because I'm like, yeah, okay, they did a good job of like bringing back what they did before. I gotta say though, I'm not a real fan of the voice acting.
Which is funny because they brought back almost the entire cast.
Yeah, I feel like if you're gonna bring it back, maybe some things can be updated. I think the animation style is great. Like, they kept that. It looks fantastic because we don't really see that anymore. Like, cel-painted kind of style anymore. I think the voice cast could have been updated.
That was a barrier for me.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
The biggest barriers. Yeah.
Interesting.
The drama is fucking amazing.
It was pretty much all here for the drama.
Yeah, yes. Definitely here for the drama. I just feel like there could have been some updates. And maybe, like, I loved the X-Men in the 90s because it was the 90s. Like, maybe I'm not into that anymore. And maybe, like, making something just purely for people that enjoyed something in a period doesn't always necessarily mean it's going to be a good thing again. I think looking back at the series with fondness and great memories made it better in my mind than reliving it again. I mean, go back and watch the old ones. They're all on Disney Plus now. But I think we probably could have benefited from a little bit of updating if we're going to do it again now.
And I think, Jill, I 100% agree. And I think that little bit of updating is what's going to stop it from getting the new audience in. Yeah. And as a comparison, I really enjoyed Masters of the Universe Revelations because it had that kind of big kind of plot update to, you know, who the protagonist was and what audience it was speaking to that I was super into. Whereas this really just felt like I'd like, downloaded a cartoon from the 90s.
Yeah.
That's why it's called X-Men 90s. No, you're right.
Which is what it's obviously trying to do. So again, I wouldn't downrate it too much for that because it's not like it's failed in what it's trying to achieve.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And it does have that thing of it is such a specific thing that it's trying to do. Yeah. Like, it is trying to be a continuation of something.
It's achieved it. I think in the lens of like the way cartoons and pop culture has changed in the last 20 years, it's not relevant anymore.
I'm happy to disagree with you on that one because I do think I like the fact that when it does a storyline that is about, you know, something like insurrections or January 6th or war in, you know, Middle Eastern countries or whatever, I feel like it is still relevant. And it's done a very, very difficult balancing act of being the same as it was in the 90s and then still trying to say something new. For my money, I think it does an incredible job of it. Also, I've gone back and rewatched a chunk of the 90s X-Men cartoon, and it ain't that good. this is better than your nostalgia. Go back and watch some of those old episodes, and you're like, fuck me, this is some clunky shit. Like, the voice acting is a lot worse. The animation is not a patch on it. And we've got a very rose quartz colored glasses on the historic X-Men series. And this is doing that thing of being the show that you wish it was in your mind, or what I think I wanted the show to be in my mind. And that's pretty fucking amazing to me. So for me, I'm also going to go 97 because I just want the rating to be 97.
And you will manipulate those figures.
Absolutely. Like some of the people in the chat are saying, I've gone back and had a look at some of the other cartoons as well, like the Spider-Man 90s show and stuff. And yeah, there's some real dogs in there.
All right. It's almost time for spoiler time because we are running out of time. Let's go and have a look at the arcade clip, which is actually really quite great. And I really enjoyed this one because it took different animation styles again and made everything a bit hectic. And it was Jubilee focused, and we all love Jubilee.
Yes.
It's loading. Here we go.
Alt music. Go.
Yes, yes, we're back. Sorry about that. Hang on one second. The 8-bit. we love the 8-bit theme and the 8-bit fun stuff that's in there. Anyway, wait, so where's my spoiler thing? Okay, so there's spoilers. All right, it goes over Jill and Pete's name. There we go. Spoilers are up. So, hopefully everyone in the chat has got current. We know Casper has. So
just before we go further, talking about 8-bit, Jill, you said you were a big fan of Capcom versus X-Men, the game?
Marvel versus Capcom.
Oh, Marvel X-Men. Oh, okay, right. Yes. Marvel.
No, there are no other Marvel characters. Versus
Capcom, which is a different one.
Yeah, no, the Marvel versus Capcom game.
Gotcha, yeah, right.
Arcade game.
Yes. Love that. Did we also all play the X-Men 4-player beat-em-up? No.
I love how you say that, like, of course we all played that.
Well,
no.
So in much the same way as there was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle 4-player beat-em-up and the Simpsons 4-player beat-em-up in the arcade, there was the X-Men one. And I'm all on my own with this. That's okay.
I can't say
I think one. I remember it. Yes, I think I do, but I it's not as cool as the Marvel versus Capcom. Of the ultimate power.
Oh, sorry.
Hey?
Jez is right. It was actually a 6-player one with 2 screens.
Oh, okay.
Amazing.
Still don't know it.
That's fine. I thought it was a cultural touchstone, but apparently just for me.
Was it 20 cents a game?
Oh, no, because it was a 6-player one. I'm pretty sure it was 40.
Jesus. Couldn't afford that. All right. So, spoiler up now. Hopefully, you've all seen episode 5. Well, that was a bit of a fucking shift in tone, was it not?
Oh.
Everyone seems real sad.
Because it's a sex bomb, Peter.
Yeah. You know that hot guy from episode 1 with the beignets and the midriff top? You know? He gone. Yes, he gambled and he lost.
Oh, dear.
But he saved everyone, kind of.
Kind of.
Even though Magneto. The really cool Magneto guy who's the master of magnetism and the best mutant around and Omega level threat and all that sort of shit. Yeah, he was shit. He couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I love it, like, because earlier in the season, you know, the Sentinels show up and they say Omega level threat about Storm. And you're like, oh, okay, right. And you think, oh, that's not good. And then in this one, when they say Omega level threat, you're like, oh, fuck, people gonna die. It suddenly has a different level of meaning. Fuck my internet.
Yeah,
that's what I say. Yeah.
I think you're being hacked by Cerebro right now.
My Omega level threat is my own internet.
The master mold is unhappy with your anti-Sentinel propaganda and is making sure that you can't get the real word out there. And that is a deep cut. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
May I ask a question?
We've been waiting for this, Peter. Please. We're here to answer them.
No, this isn't about why. This is a like, this like a thing? Has Cable always been the son of Madeline Pryor and Cyclops?
Well, that's a spoiler.
Are we in spoilers?
Yes, Peter.
So that's like already in the, okay, cool.
Yes.
I see. I didn't know that. I was like, huh, I know that character from that other movie I watched.
Yes.
From that other one. That
was all the pieces are falling into place.
Yeah, he went back into the future with Bishop, who is an underrated and very good X-Men character, and yes. I will stand Bishop.
Yeah, I do enjoy Bishop.
Also, Aboriginal.
Yes.
Bishop.
Yes. Really? Well, technically in the comics, but has a very good North American accent.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a little part of me that's like, oh, it would have been fucking great if they could have done that, but at the same time, I also understand that they're matching the voice actor from the original, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. They also had Gateway. He was an Aboriginal mutant.
Yes.
Anyway, this is all different stuff. This is very long and complicated.
It is.
I actually quite enjoyed the Forge and Aurora and Storm kind of... like very quick again, like let's just do this as the B story in an episode,
right?
Because that's a whole thing that in order for Storm to try to get her powers back and go seize Forge and have to fight the adversary and do all this kind of stuff, and then they fall in love and blah 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 blah. That was good, but they did that one pretty quick.
Oh, no, there's still a second half to come.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's see how we go. But yeah, that episode really turned everything on its head, and I think it was good because we were having so much fun up until then, that it just shook you and reminded you, still the X-Men. And X-Men is a bit weird and dark. And
the thing adult. I liked about it, yeah. I love that it was, and a lot of people have called it the Game of Thrones moment.
The Game of Thrones moment.
It was the Reigns of Castlemere, where it's like, well, fuck, anyone can die.
Yeah. Have you not read an X-Men comic?
Can I tether off my fucking phone?
Cool.
Just talk amongst yourselves.
Sure can. I have to admit, though, like now that we've gotten to Genosha and doing a few things, I'm starting to piece a bit of stuff together from my, like, comics remembering, and I'm like, I'm not sure what happens next in technically a few of these, so hopefully I get a few kind of like, oh man, is that what happened now? Because I never really got to the Genosian island state manufacture thing, so that could be fun. Are you looking forward to anything showing up in the future, Jill? Because you didn't watch the trailer for the rest of the season, did you?
Oh, no, I didn't. I'm just happy to be surprised. I'm just going along with the soap opera dramatics.
I'm really hoping that they throw in some other Marvel characters like they used to into the X-Men.
I mean, I would love to see T'Challa show up. I'll throw that out there.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Storm's got to get with everyone, so let's just... speed up that storyline.
Okay. There are definitely going to be a lot of crossovers. At least one has been shown quite clearly in the trailer for what's coming forwards. And that's something that the old series did well at times and badly at other times, is that like it really didn't have any qualms about going, oh yeah, we're just going to throw characters at you. Like, they're not necessarily done well, but we're going to throw them at you. And I love it because every now and then there'd be a moment where they'd fight some kind of nobody adversaries in a weird alternate universe or whatever, and they'd just throw really recognizable characters at it just to be kind of like, oh, yeah, they're fighting them. So at one point in an alternate universe, they're fighting a green version of Iron Man. It is not explained why. He's just there.
I thought it was pretty sick that Spiral was in an episode. Like,
oh yeah,
that's like some deep cut X-Men.
I was waiting for some Shatterstar to come out. If you're gonna do Spiral, do fucking Shatterstar.
Didn't they
already do Longshot?
They did, yeah.
Yeah, they did Longshot already. So like, they should have thrown some fucking Shatterstar in there.
Yeah,
maybe they already did. I don't know. Any character that could be animated without the feet. As an homage to Rob Liefeld. Or weirdly misshapen chests.
And giant guns.
Yes.
That's why Cable looks so weird.
That obscure the fingers so you don't have to draw them.
Yeah, absolutely. Rob Liefeld, the precursor to AI.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Look, there's so many good things in the episodes that we get, and they're very good at going, okay, here's a reference or here's a thing. But I could also imagine from an outside perspective where you're not loving the references or not getting them, it must be fucking like impenetrable at times.
And of course, that's why Peter is just sitting there going, I have nothing to contribute.
Yeah, I'm just reading the chat now. There are some excellent corrosion jokes being made, Iron Man being green and Superman. Asky has a post discussion question.
Well, now is the time.
I can contribute reading the chat at this stage.
Yeah, now is the time to have these questions. We take questions from the audience now.
new part of the format.
What I found kind of amazing is going back and looking at the old stuff, how much other stuff had already been done that like has been referenced in other X-Men content later. Like, you know, the series Legion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I've watched that one.
Yeah. So David Haller and Proteus and all of that was done in the X-Men animated series years before Legion.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of like, oh, shit, right. Okay. So, the Shadow King, which is the big bad guy from Legion?
Yeah. Yep.
X-Men did it.
Fuck, I'm going to have to go and revisit all of that old X-Men. I barely remember it.
That's X-Men the thing. Like, there's so many things that they've done and done a really fucking good tilt.
Did they do the Extinction Agenda?
No, I don't think so. They did the Phalanx Covenant, which I was like, really? That's a weird choice.
Yeah.
And I love that, you know, in as a part of that first episode, they kind of touched on Executioner's Song, and you're like, but,
yeah, I know. Okay. I was like, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Like, they've done a lot in those previous series, so that it may be one of those things where it's like, oh, okay.
Did they do Onslaught?
No, never got to Onslaught.
The weird. Well, they can't really do that now because technically Charles Xavier's dead. Technically, did Charles die, or did Charles go off into like hang out with his space? Did Charles's body go off and hang out with his space girlfriend? yes, I mean all this and more they could explore and get into the weird stuff. What about the one which is Charles Xavier's unborn twin, Cassandra?
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like there is so much weird shit that is ready to go. I know, Pete. Yeah, look, you look confused. I'm confused. I don't even know too much about this shit.
Actually, here's a question for all of the players at home. How many of you? So the first X-Men thing you saw was the X-Men movie in 2000.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Was that the first live action X-Men that any of you had seen?
Oh no. Wait, does Mutant X count? Because it wasn't official.
Oh, I wasn't even digging for that one, but yes. Or
what about Generation X?
That's what I was digging for.
I don't know Generation X.
So in around about the same time as the X-Men animated series, in the mid-90s, they did a pilot for a TV series that they turned into a film. Called Generation X, based on the comic book of the same name.
Oh, no, I'm looking at screenshots. Wow. So many power shoulders.
Yes. It was ballsy as hell. And I remember walking into a video store in Tasmania and seeing it and going, the fuck is that?
I'll tell you what's ballsy, casting a white woman as an Asian character. Jubilee was white. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's some questionable choices in there.
But also, was it Emma Frost and Banshee running a school? It's like, wait, what?
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Yep. Yeah, it's totally amazing. And yes, Max Headroom as the villain.
Yes, and Mondo and Skin. Like, that was one of the hardest mutants to do.
Why not?
Skin, who just had, like, lots of floppy skin.
Stretchy skin. Yep.
Oh, dear.
It was a choice, and it is well worth looking at for about half an hour until it gets to the shitty ending. But anyway, there's so much good X-Men content out there, and I watched X-Men Apocalypse, so fuck me.
Yeah.
And it was bad enough that it reminded me to stop there and not watch X-Men Dark Phoenix.
Oh. Yeah, I think I might have watched it.
Do you like
on streaming? Wasn't great.
I have to admit, I have not watched a lot of the X-Men animated films that came out over the years of kind of stuff. Do you think that this is a worthy kind of something to watch? Like X-Men 97 is something to watch rather than all that other shit, or is it really like, no, this is only for people who watch the original animated X-Men and then want to just get that sweet, sweet nostalgia dopamine?
I mean, to me, it feels like the second one. To me, it feels like the second one, which is not to say that you can only watch it if you have the nostalgia, but I think you do really have to be interested in the genre. I mean, you know, if you're a kid who's younger, who wasn't around in the 90s to watch it, but you're super into X-Men and you've read the comics and you know, yeah, I think you would probably still enjoy it. But if you've got nothing on it, it's a little bit of a hard sell, but that's okay. I don't think that it's failing. I think I kind of like that it hasn't tried to capture more audience than it really needs to for what it is. I think it's being what it is very, very well. But there's no one in my life aside from you guys that I would recommend it to specifically.
Okay. So there were nobody else that you're friends with or that knew that were into the X-Men animated series of a Saturday morning or a weekday morning?
Yeah, or who are like younger kids who happen to be super into, you know, comics and would get a kick out of it because, you know, they've been reading the X-Men comics or, you know, they've got some kind of stake in this world. But, I mean, I could be wrong about that. That could also be my difficulty with animation kind of doubling up my antipathy a little bit. Adsky's question was about the nostalgia bubble and how long we think that it's going to last. And it is an interesting question. I mean, you know, we were previously talking about the Masters of the Universe reboot. Like, it does kind of feel like half of the stuff that's out there at the moment is, you know, a version of a game, a reboot of something from the 90s.
I think my nostalgia bubble burst when I saw the film Battleship based on the board game Battleship.
I think every 20 years we get a cycle of stuff that is being rehashed. It happens in fashion every year. We get new decades. I mean, we're in 2020 and we're seeing a cycle of early 2000s fashion coming through. So it doesn't surprise me that it happens in our pop culture arenas either. So, I mean, I don't think the nostalgia bubble will ever burst because there's always going to be a generation that wants to relive something that they've previously experienced joy with. So it will just be perpetual.
I look forward to being 80 and watching like 40-year-olds freak out about TikTok Fortnite dances again.
Yeah.
And like that's going to be the next one. Like find whatever you think is strange for like children to be doing right now, and before you die you will see middle-aged people losing their brains over it and having so much fun. So that's why I don't think the nostalgia bubble's going to go anywhere either. Like, just let people have their fun. It's not hurting anyone.
I'd just like to call out both Chest Angela and Tari for saying that the movie A Battleship was really good.
I honestly haven't watched it.
It has a jumping spaceship. Like,
But it also has Rihanna.
And it also has Gambit.
Unless there were giant tubes that come down and land in the ships every now and again, it's not Battleship. It's just a poor imitation of Battleship.
I found it, like, I remember watching it in a cinema and
Where did you find it?
When you saw it.
Lost it at a cinema, and that's it. Like the aliens have decided that Quinny is done. I mean, yeah. Look, I mean, Gambit was also in John Carter from Mars or whatever that one. So, you know, we can't do that too much to Taylor. Are you back now, Q? Yeah, great.
I'm back.
Your comment was deleted by the moderators.
That's fair enough. You sunk my comment battleship.
Yes. When they make a movie of Monopoly. Oh, wait, that's actually real life.
They are. They're making.
Yes, it's called the Senate inquiry into Coles and Woolworths.
Just checking. Did anyone watch either X-Men Evolution or Wolverine and the X-Men?
X-Men Evolution.
Yep. I didn't watch any of them.
Oh, the X-Men Evolution was like, the thing of where they go, imagine if we did it, but we put them at a high school and made them all teenagers. That's what did that.
But also, what if we lifted all the best scenes from 90s teen movies and then animated them?
Like literally over the
top. Literally rotoscoped them.
Jesus.
What was the main one that, like, there's a dance one that...
I want to say it's something like The Craft or whatever. Oh, yeah, thanks for your input, Quinny.
Watch you while he pauses.
Buffy. Thanks, Casper. Yeah, it was also Buffy as well. The Craft and Buffy. Yeah, just like any good thing from the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yes.
What are we doing next week?
I don't know.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Oh, yeah, we're having a break next week.
It's a break.
There's a little part of me that thinks we should have been talking about Fallout, but hey, you know, we'll take a break.
We're allowed to have birthday breaks.
We are.
Yeah. Or, you know, we could also get rid of The Gentleman and do Fallout there. But no, maybe we need something for the start of May.
I haven't started The Gentleman.
Honestly, dude, I was going to quietly suggest whether or not maybe we dump The Gentleman because I can give you my review of The Gentleman right now. It's fine.
You know, honestly, I didn't think much of the movie, so I wasn't really looking forward to watching the TV series.
Wow, it's just spoilers. Well, you know what? We can do what we want because it's our show. We can Sorry for anyone. You've heard it here first, folks. So far, with a vote of 2-1 for The Gentleman to be shit canned, Pete, you've got the deciding vote.
Well, I can give you my review of The Gentleman.
Go on.
Theo James.
Oh, what is your obsession with him? He's so dull.
His face is very symmetrical. Like, it's just like
I don't find him
like
attractive at
thing.
All. Nah.
Okay,
and I watched The White Lotus, and then I was like, wait, this is Theo James? I'm like, what the fuck is Peter going on about?
Oh, he was playing such a dick in that, though. He's also playing a dick in this.
Yeah, but...
He plays a dick a lot. Yeah, anyway.
I'm kind of into dick
It's just Guy Ritchie. That's it. Like, it is
purely Guy Ritchie. So hit and miss.
And that's just it. Like, every episode is just Guy Ritchie for geezer stuff.
Mm. All right, fine. We'll just do Fallout then at the end of the month. Last end of the month.
Well, here's the real question.
Sorry. Yes. It's just Guy Ritchie geezer shit.
The real question to throw out to the community is, do we need to do a special episode on Bluey?
This has been a scuttlebutt that has been running in a totally out of left field thing. Does May become the month of May where we do Bluey?
I mean, I'm here for it. I'm all for Bluey.
I would love an excuse to actually sit down and binge Bluey because I've only done bits and pieces. So,
yeah, you got to get into Bluey. I think there's a lot to talk about with Bluey, but you know, we'll put it out there. We'll see if people are interested in listening to us talk about Bluey.
Considering, like, I made a comment about watching the 28-minute episode of Bluey the other day, and just went spare. Everybody was like, oh, my God.
So Bluey is kind of like the Ted Lasso of children's TV, tonally.
I think so.
If you're wondering if you should watch it, that is what it is. And it's not really just kids' TV. Like, there are entire episodes where I swear they've just been written for adults.
Oh, yeah.
Like, like in terms of messaging. I'm like, kids aren't going to understand this. This is about the mental load. Children aren't going to understand an episode about the mental load or like men's mental health. This has like, this is directed at the parents.
Yep.
Sounds boring. Are there explosions?
Are there explosions? No.
You're supposed to say only of your heart, Dion.
There's definitely tears. I challenge you to watch through all of Bluey and not cry.
Speaking of emotionally charged TV shows, we've changed it. It's going to be Fallout at the end of the month. I'll update the schedule.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So just like the X-Men, we've set you up for one thing and then changed it at the last minute and totally ruined your outlook on the world.
The artwork that I made 2 days ago, I'm more than happy to change.
Well, don't go out of your way.
No. Look, Paul, I've got a lot more to say about Fallout. Literally got fucking nothing to say
about
it.
You still haven't even watched the last episode.
That's what I'm doing in a minute.
Let me go and watch the Fallout.
I'll live tweet it like Casper watching the last episode of X-Men.
It's Casper said he's just about to go and have a think about episode 5 for a while. Aww, don't worry, we get to see the Fallout of that tomorrow.
Oh, you can stare at it like Wolverine in that meme. Look at it in a photograph.
But also, sorry, I just want to go back on that. Well, in that episode, Gambit and Wolverine are the two single most emotionally aware and adult people. Like, Wolverine's like, yeah, I totally want to get with you, but you are doing it for the wrong reason, so I'm going to walk away. And Gambit is like, I want to be with you, but you got some shit to deal with, and I've got other things, so I'm going to walk away, and this is going to hurt me a lot. But also, you know what? You do what you got to do. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Teach men how to deal with their emotions.
So dramatic.
So dramatic. Not even anything.
Yeah.
All right.
But also that whole thing of Scott being like having an affair with alternate version of Jean in her mind and stuff. And you're like, what?
Yeah, it's an emotional affair is still an affair.
A psychic affair. But he did
psychic emotional affair.
But he did it with Emma Frost in the comic.
Yeah, they covered that in the cartoon yet?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, something to look forward to.
But even still, like, if you're having an affair with somebody who was your wife and was the one who was with you for however many years.
You had a baby with.
Yeah. You're like,
Same, same, but different?
Yes. I don't know where to go.
Absolutely.
Thanks everyone for joining in the chat. It was very good. And I'm happy everyone in the chat is all X-Men fans and happy like to get onto that.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
We're gonna have a week off next week. Yay!
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 Yeah.
Have a lovely week. If you haven't use that time to watch all of Fallout.
Yeah. Or all of the X-Men animated.
Definitely. Yeah, go back, watch it all from the start. The
X-Men animated, the 97 again, and hopefully we get some closure tomorrow when the new episode of the X-Men 97 comes out and we can all sort of collectively sit down and go, wow, that was fucked. Something nice happens, yeah.
Mm. Especially if they ignore everything that happened in the previous episode and just do something else.
That would be very on brand.
Like, right?
That would be 100%. They need one of the filler episodes where it's just like, where they just go and follow Colossus.
sure, yeah.
For like, and everyone's like, but what happened to me? It's like, no, it's Colossus episode.
Yeah. He'll rescue a cat out of a tree or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's something nice.
By ripping the tree out in his gigantic metallic muscles.
Okay. I'm going to head up now. We'll see you all later.
I hate my internet.
Bye, guys.
Canvas.
Previously on X-Men.
for listening to the Periodic Table podcast. If you have comments, feedback, questions, or suggestions, email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. From our website, you can find our Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook links, as well as ways to donate to the show if you're feeling generous. And of course, you can join in the show live on Tuesday and Friday nights on our Twitch channel. Until next time, stay awesome!